Good morning, Salem. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Oh, it's Friday, the 22nd day of January 2021. And it's just not any day. This particular day has significant meaning in the history of our country, and we're going to get more into that here shortly. It's 8:06 in the morning, and glad to have you along for the ride this morning. And I want to say thanks to all of our listeners who continue to tune in and tell others about the morning show. And of course, Political Coffee goes from 6 until 7, 6 to 7, 7 to 8. And now I'm on from 8 until 9 in the morning. And then Jeff's show replays the first hour at 6 p.m. at night. So I know I've heard from some of you, and you're like, oh, I'm already at work and I'm missing your show, and I love your feedback. Thank you for sending me an email letting us know your input. And it's radio is more important now than ever before, with all this cancel culture, with all of the disconnected ways that we had gotten accustomed to communicating through Facebook and Twitter and all of those things, staying on what's going on nationally and kind of countering the mainstream media's message. I know it's been challenging. And I thank you for connecting with me via email and staying in tune to what's going on, and all of you sending me information. It's just incredible. Thank you so much for that. And I wanted to hit on a couple stories before we get into the content of what I want to cover today. This is some good news, and many of you have donated, have fundraised, have helped with the Santiam Canyon fundraising effort, and that's through the Santiam Hospital there in Staten. Tremendous effort to help the folks who've been affected by the wildfires, and this is a great announcement. The Santiam Canyon homeowners who lost their primary residence in the last year's wildfire can now apply for a grant through the Santiam Canyon Wildfire Relief Fund. The grant is available to homeowners who their primary resident was a total loss in the fire, according to the news release sent out by Santiam Hospital. So far, the fund has collected $2.9 million to help those impacted, which burned down the canyon Labor Day weekend, destroying hundreds of homes. If you know somebody who's been affected in that area, they can apply for funds. It's a $1,000 grant. Every little bit helps. Applications for recovery grant are available on the fund website. People with questions who need assistance, you can call the grant helpline. And I'll put this up on our Facebook page, and we'll do a resource page on our website as well. Grant help at 503-897-0379. Or you can email SCWRF. That's SCWRF at santiamhospital.org. So that's good news as we continue to keep our eyes on what's going on in the canyon and the rebuild and all the issues facing families. That's great news there. Some other great news, potentially, and not sure how this is all going to pan out, but I know I was absolutely shocked when I came back to Salem after being gone. And of course, the weather shifted and lots of rain happened while I was gone. And I just everywhere, suddenly, I see homelessness again, like when I moved here a year ago. And partly that's because I guess Cascade Park, where many of them had been camping out, the homeless folks had been camping out during the summer along the lake there at Cascade Park. They'd had permission because of COVID and everything. They were kind of out of view. Well, that flooded, apparently, with all the rain. And so now they're at intersections. They're all over the town just camping out. And even rumor that in one place, I think it's up along Portland Road Parkway up in that area, that they have an extension cord and a washer and dryer up in that area. I just don't get it. It doesn't make any sense. But here's what came out in the news yesterday. The city of Salem is nearing an agreement to use the interior pavilion at the Oregon State Fairgrounds and an adjacent parking lot for a homeless shelter. Jimmy Jones, executive director of Mid-Willamette Valley Community Action Agency, said there will be 100 spots and a few car camping spaces at the site. He said contracts still need to be signed. Gretchen Bennett, the city's homelessness liaison, said nonprofit operation will have 24/7 staffing at the location. It's a temporary usage to assist with meeting the needs of sheltering in our community during the pandemic. As you know, we're working to have places where people can be physically distant and help reduce the impact on our parks, Bennett said in an email to Salem City Councilors. So I'm going to try to get some folks on the line here in the next couple of weeks. We're going to try to address and find out what's going on. And again, that's keeping our eye on our city council, our commission, staying plugged in. I had an opportunity last night to go to the Republican meeting. Oh my goodness, it was very good. I met many of you. Many of our listeners had an opportunity to say hi and reconnect last night. And it's very good. And I learned some things. I learned that coming up this year, we have four opportunities on our local Salem-Keizer School Board to potentially run and get some people in there that line up with our values. So that was a good piece of information and great networking. And so all of those opportunities for us to connect, get engaged, get equipped, get empowered, get encouraged is so very important. And we know we're still under a major lockdown through our governor. And I hear she had some kind of State of the State address. I've not had a chance to watch that yet, but I'm sure it's more the same. No solutions or no pathway to reopening. I'm almost certain of it. Maybe I'm being a little pessimistic, but that's just what it's been, right? Every time it's like, oh, maybe we'll have some relief. And nope, it's more restraint, right? And so my answer is we've got to get engaged. We got to press in. Don't disconnect, friends. Let's stay engaged. Let's find what we can do. And many of you are. And I want to thank my new friend, Karen, who came last night to the meeting. I don't think she's ever done anything like that. She's very much a people person. And I saw her buzzing around the room, loving on people. You know, we need more of us connected. And there's an opportunity for you to engage in with us here at the radio station. We're going to celebrate you. We're going to celebrate our liberty. We're going to celebrate our freedom coming up on January 31st at 2 p.m. in the afternoon at the Ames Ranch. We're going to have a celebration, and we need you to sign up. We have a link on our website. Go to kslm.news, click on that link, get signed up. If you're challenged some way financially, there is a fee, per person fee and a family fee. If you're challenged, we have some folks that have stepped up and given some money to help support those who can't afford to come. We don't want those obstacles. We want you to be there. We want to mingle with you, meet you, and start that opportunity of where do we go from here, right? And so that's kind of where we're at right now, is trying to connect, trying to stay engaged, trying to communicate, trying to come up with a plan and a strategy. And I maintain that we can do all of that in a peaceful, constructive way where we can make a difference here in Oregon. And I know you'll say, well, Stacy, I've been doing it for 30 years. You're new back to Oregon, and it's easy for me to have a different perspective, but I don't think it's impossible. If we all figure out where we're at and what's important to us, what's important, and if we can't do it for ourselves, can we do it for our children and our grandchildren? If you don't have any children or grandchildren, can you do it for your neighbor's children and grandchildren? I think so. Speaking of kids and kind of shifting gears a little bit, this is a very strategic day in American history. I'm going to play this. And that is in honor of all the unborn children. Hard not to get emotional. Unborn children who have been lost to abortion since 1973 on this day. And not just children lost,
but moms and dads impacted. The walking wounded, I like to call. On this day, in American history, Roe v. Wade was passed in 1973. I have had the opportunity to walk with and beside several women in their healing journey of their abortion loss. And they maintain that if they would have had all of the information, if they would have known it was more than a blob of tissue, if they had any indication that that one decision, which brought some immediate relief, would haunt them their remaining days, they would have made a different decision. And this is a dark day right now in America because we've just come from 4 years with a president who is probably the most pro-life president we've ever had. And with the strike of a pen on his first few days in office, the new administration has reversed many of the things and the protections for life. And with that, I want to say, even though it feels dark, and it's sad, you and I have an opportunity, no matter where you're at, if you're someone who in your own life has an abortion loss, you know, my heart goes out to you and I feel with you that pain, even though I personally have not experienced that. But I will say this, let's turn that pain into progress. Let's defend the unborn. Do you know that in Oregon, there is no protection for the unborn in the womb? There is no legislation, no law, not even identifying the need for protection. And we have a lot of work to do in Oregon, but we can do it. And we need to line up with those on the front lines that are doing it. And we need to hold our elected leaders from every elected position. We need to be starting with the question, where do you stand on life? And we need to get behind those people from conception to natural death. We need to get behind them and do all that we can to make sure that they get into those elected positions. That's what we can do today. Are you willing to stand up for the unborn? Are you willing to join the cause to protect life? I sure hope so. And after this break, we're going to get together with Lois Anderson with Oregon Right to Life. And we're going to talk about where do we go from here and what can we do right now, right here in Oregon, to protect life, to defend life. And I'm so glad you've joined us today. And I'm so glad to call you friends. And I'm thankful that your values, friends, line up with mine. And we have so much to celebrate and so much to look forward to. Yes, it's a sad day in American history today, but we are not without hope. And we can do this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Back with Lois Anderson after this. Good morning, Salem. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. It's 8:22 in the morning. So glad to have you along, friends. Want to remind you to go on our Facebook page and like our Facebook at KSLM Radio. And of course, our website is KSLM.news. And we have all kind of the latest news. We have a great stream of what's happening in national news and local news. If you haven't had a chance to go to our website, it's been redone. It's awesome. You can also register there for the our Freedom Celebration that we're having on the 31st of January at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. And I'm so very thankful. I can't tell you how thankful I am to have this opportunity to be here at such a time as this. We are living in interesting times, turbulent times, and we need good navigation. We need some good, strong information to be equipped to live in the culture that we're living in this day. And here's a quote that you've heard me say it before, and I'll continue to say it. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. We have an opportunity to get engaged in our culture, and it's a matter of how to go about it. And there are leaders in the field, and they're unsung heroes in my mind, those who are working behind the scenes, equipping, engaging, educating, empowering people, you and I, common, ordinary citizens, to speak truth to those elected leaders, to influence them and hopefully help them create good laws that protect our life and liberty and our pursuit of happiness. And on the line with me now is one of those true Oregon heroes, and I'm just privileged and honored to get to know her. So glad to have you with us today, Lois. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on, and thank you for your kind words. That's very humbling.
Well, I know, having spent myself many, many years on the front line and some aspects still on a national level doing frontline work for life, I know the things that you do behind the scenes. You're game on 24/7, and it's consuming, isn't it?
Yes, it certainly can be.
Now, talk to us a little bit about Oregon Right to Life and our history in our state.
Well, Oregon Right to Life has been around since 1970. Last year, we commemorated our 50th anniversary. I don't like to use the word celebrated, because if we're still around means that abortion is still legal in Oregon.
Right.
That's what the founders came together to storm the state right after. Oregon was an early adopter of legal abortion. They passed a law in 1969. This group of people got together and wanted to inform Oregonians about what was going on and what abortion actually is, what happens during an abortion, and protecting the innocent unborn life that was being ended in every procedure. And here we are still, it'll be 51 years in August later, still fighting that battle. But I will say that there's also many, many lives that have been saved from abortion, many women who have been saved from that pain, as you so eloquently talked about in your introduction, that is because of the work of many, many behind-the-scenes, unsung, unnamed people. So while there's sadness today, and it's appropriate to be sad today and to remember the lives that have been lost, there is hope, because there are many people who have not gone through with an abortion decision, and children and grandchildren that are alive today because of that.
That's exactly right. And I'll never forget, Lois, when I was running a pregnancy help center, just within the first week of taking that responsibility, which was a heavy responsibility because there is no state funds, there's no federal funds. It's fully engaged community support, and that gets a huge burden, just like your organization, most nonprofits. And I remember having this dream of generations of people walking in the front door thanking our staff for being there, having the faith, even though the funds might not have been there. And I used to giggle and laugh and say, yeah, this is a faith-based organization because I know what's in the checkbook, and we, you know, that kind of thing. And the legacy, you know, for all of my life, 51 years, abortion in Oregon has been legal. That just blows my mind. And I think of, and like you said, the sadness of all the lives and legacies lost. But we need to also celebrate those organizations, our pregnancy help centers all over the nation right now that outnumber, for the first time ever, the abortion clinics. That's a celebration. Another celebration, yeah, in a sense, is that under the last 4 years, looking at the pulling up Planned Parenthood's own statistics, they've significantly gone down in the last 4 years. Imagine that.
Yes, it's been a pretty remarkable, I say, cultural shift, because when you see numbers like this consistently going down, yes, our political leaders do have a role in that. And President Trump, of course, is an outspoken advocate of the protection of the unborn, and his administration was through and through pro-life. I had contact with many folks in different parts of the administration that were wonderful pro-life advocates who worked. But I think there's a deeper movement happening, mm-hmm. and I think we're really in the death throes of the abortion industry. And one of the indicators that we can see of that is that the Lovejoy Surgery Center in Portland has closed its doors.
Yes.
And this really has been sort of an icon of the abortion industry in Oregon. And yes, they have a thing on their website that, you know, oh, we're going to reopen somewhere else. Well, the truth behind that is first of all, there isn't another clinic open yet, and from what we understand from the wonderful folks on the ground that stand outside and pray and offer counseling to the women who have for years who have been going into that clinic, that there's a notorious late term abortionist out of Seattle who's trying to establish a clinic in Portland. And I just want to ask your listeners to, if they are people of prayer, to pray.
Yes.
And to stand by for activism if needed, if this doctor tries to establish his care. We're working with with these wonderful people on the ground there to try to find out as much information as possible. But even if he is able to establish a clinic in Portland, it will not be the same as Lovejoy.
Hey, Lois, when we get here, I'm going to stop you for a minute. Sorry to interrupt you. We're going to get into what we can do when we get back from this break. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We've got Lois Anderson from Oregon Right to Life. And you and I, friends, we can join and make a difference. We'll talk more about it when we get back. Good morning, Salem. It's 8:35 in the morning. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. Currently on this Friday, 38 degrees. Going to warm up to 48 with partly cloudy sky expected today. And tomorrow, Saturday, partly cloudy as well. Temperature 46 degrees. And we're continuing the conversation today. Today is the 22nd day of January in 1973. On this day, Roe v. Wade was legalized here in the United States, of course, in Oregon. As we heard from our friend Lois from Oregon Right to Life, abortion had been taking place here in the state. And so it's been a battle for a long time here, and it's entrenched in a sense as some kind of a right. And I remember going to high school at Sprague High School here in Salem, and remembering Planned Parenthood coming into the classroom and doing quote-unquote the sex education part and teaching to us, and this is in the 80s, that abortion was a form of birth control because their lie was, it is a blob of tissue. That's not really a life yet, right? And so in the effort, and I just want to say, out of South Dakota and having lived there several years, in the effort to protect life out of the legislature, the brave men and women there standing strong, creating laws to protect life that other states can emulate. And it's had a rippling effect over the last 15 years. It's been tremendous. And in 2015, the state of South Dakota had a concurrent resolution, number 1004. And it addressed and delivered this to the Supreme Court of the United States. And out in this document, by the way, I'm going to get some more of these. So if you'd like one, send me an email, stacy@kslm.news. I'd love to get one in your hand. I've ordered some more and I'll have them here within the next week or so. But listen to this. It so describes the true battle. The right and duty to preserve life cannot coexist with the right or duty to destroy it. The right and duty to preserve and protect the cherished relationship between mother and child cannot coexist with a right and duty to destroy it. It is the law as it represents the collective interests of individuals for whom it exists that must choose which set of interests it must protect. And long ago, our law was required to choose life over death, the mother's beautiful interest in her child's life over its destruction, the protection of the innocent children over the misguided philosophies and trends in social thought, which come and go. And I think that is so hitting the hammer on the nail. That is the conflict. How can you be created as a mother and everything about you is to protect and nurture that life, that separate, whole, unique, living human being that is no different at conception than you and I in our 50s. The difference is the time and the maturation, but we have everything at conception. We are a whole, unique, living, separate human being. And so that really is what the battle is about. And here in Oregon, even through the shutdown and so many things called non-essential, right? Abortions were still taking place. But in the last 2 years, annual statistics, which have gone down dramatically, approximately 883,000 abortions took place in the United States in 2019. Up from 868,000 abortions in 2018. And I'm not sure, Lois, I have Lois Anderson on the air with me from Oregon Right to Life. I don't know how many up-to-date abortions. Do you have the latest statistic through the end of the year? Have you any idea here in Oregon?
I can look them up really quickly.
Yeah, I have it through September, but not the last quarter. Yeah, it says here.
If you're looking at the state website, that would be the latest.
Okay, so it says through the 3rd of November, it has through September. For the whole state of Oregon, it has 4,589 abortions. Now, that again, if I'm understanding right, and help me understand, because I'm getting familiar with Oregon stuff. I know Arkansas and South Dakota and some of the other places I live. This is, the procedure is an abortion, like a DNC Cutteridge type procedure. Is that correct?
Well, in Oregon, we do have, if you're referencing medical abortions, which are taken through a series of pills, hopefully early in a pregnancy, because it's very it's dangerous to the baby all the time, but it's very dangerous if it's done later. In Oregon, medical abortions are reported.
Okay, good to
know. So that does include medical abortions, at least as far as the responsibility as a physician. Abortion reporting is always a little. We just have to look at the numbers that we have and look at trends, because, you know, in Oregon, there's not, we believe since abortion has been legal for so long, there's not an incentive for doctors necessarily to not report.
Right.
But again, you know, all we can do is look at the numbers that are available and look at trends, but they are supposed to report medical abortions.
Well, and that by prescription and Plan B, and so many states don't report and record. When we hear the total since 1973, which I think I've heard the latest might be 66, how many million children lost? Is that the overall number?
There's usually a few different sets of numbers. We usually go by the National Right to Life Committee's numbers. They do a report every year, and their updated number is 62.5 million.
And that doesn't always take into account California or Plan B or some of these other things that people are shifting to in this day and age. And so that's the gravity of the situation. The good news is the last few years, it has gone down. A lot of great efforts. The good news is there's more help on the front lines. One of the greatest mission organizations, and I urge our listeners to get behind our pregnancy help centers with money and volunteering. And they need our support and our help. There's more of those than abortion clinics. And there's ways that people can get involved. Now, with the pandemic, with some of the hyped up rhetoric around getting together and showing for a cause, things have shifted a little bit. For normally there's an annual March for Life in D.C. There's a march at the Capitol for Oregon. Talk to us a little bit of how we've kind of had to pivot that for our activities this year.
Yeah, of course, we're not the only ones that have had to go through this, but we had plans on going ahead with our in-person event tomorrow on January 23rd, but we did pivot, and we are going to have our same speakers with a program with our, if you've been to the event, we have a video and bells, which are indicating one bell for each million children who have been killed through legal abortion. And so we're going to have that program on virtually live on our Facebook page and on our YouTube page. Mm-hmm. And then we'll also be recording it, downloading it, and it'll be available on both of those sites to watch and to share. And it's not the ideal situation, but we're doing what we can with the resources that we have. So we're going to be joined by Archbishop Alexander Sample, by Pastor Scott Erickson from People's Church, student leader Emma Howell from Chemeketa Students for Life, and our president, Melody Durrett, Marion County Commissioner Colin Willis, and a mother, Samantha Williams, who was pressured to abort her child because they thought that her child was disabled in the womb. So it's going to be encouraging and inspiring to help us get through another year of advocacy.
And when is this exactly?
2:30 p.m. tomorrow, Saturday, January 23rd.
Okay, 2:30 p.m. So follow Oregon Right to Life on Facebook, right? And certainly you can watch it and stay plugged in. How do people get involved, and what can they do? Is there like a membership to be a member of Oregon Right to Life? They want to engage with the organization, be active locally?
Yes, we do. We are a membership organization, and you can become a member by donating to Oregon Right to Life. $5 or more makes you a member. And we publish a quarterly newsletter. We still do, you know, paper and ink on that newsletter.
That's good.
Is sent out to our membership every quarter. We have a wonderful new editor who is writing some wonderful original content, interviewing people around Oregon who are advocating for the unborn and their mothers. Then you also, whether or not you're a member, you're welcome to sign up for our email updates. We also have text updates. Those really are the fastest and least expensive ways for us to communicate with you about what's going on in Oregon, what's going on nationally, and for those times when we need people to stand up, whether it's in the legislature or whether it might be in a community, a school board, or other opportunities.
Well, I think it's extremely important now more than ever that we get engaged and we be a part of the Oregon Right to Life, that we sign up, we get the information, and particularly in this cancel culture and censor culture, it's good to know that we still get a good old-fashioned newsletter delivered to us. Here's something that is exciting, and we got a little bit of time, and when we come back from this break, I want you to talk a little bit more about it, but Kristen Hawkins is the president of Students for Life, and you mentioned that you're going to have Students for Life on your broadcast tomorrow, but you may or may not know, friends, that last year Chemeketa Community College here in Salem, and I know they have a couple other branches, tried to relegate pro-life student group to two tiny so-called free speech zones. School administrators even forced the group to apply for permission weeks in advance just for the opportunity to speak outdoors publicly, which about abortion and the life-affirming resources to pregnant mothers. They partnered with Alliance Defending Freedom and filed a federal lawsuit to overturn these outrageous targeted free speech restrictions. And guess what? They won. This is so exciting. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that on the other side of this break. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We are acknowledging the fact that we've lost so many children to abortion. And we're also acknowledging the fact that there's something still we can do about it. Let's get engaged. Let's get empowered. Let's make a difference right here in our own backyard. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you, friends. Thank you for listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacy Ann. It's 8:50 in the morning, warming up to only 39 degrees here in the KSLM studios. Want to say thank you to Dave and Paige Smith for being morning show sponsors. They're with Realty One Group, Willamette Valley. They're ready to go above and beyond to serve you and your real estate needs. Give Dave and Paige a call, 503-939-7099. And again, I encourage you to get registered, friends, for our Freedom Celebration coming up January 31st, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's going to be a wonderful time celebrating our life, liberty, and meeting you, interacting with you as we continue to look for ways to stay connected and moving through this season that we're walking into, right? And I just want to say thank you to Lois Anderson with Oregon Right to Life and your tremendous team. Who have been working together over several years to keep life as and the important need to protect life from conception to natural death in the forefront of everybody's minds. And it always boils down to, it seems, during an election cycle. It seems like this issue of life really always is kind of one of the top five, right, that we're talking about. And it seems to me, and this is a little Stacyism, I guess, is that it seems like insincere and not genuine of an administration here in Oregon who's so caring about, oh my gosh, the COVID and protecting life and all of this, and yet the baby in the womb is just not even acknowledged. And we've got work to do, don't we?
Well, we certainly do. Yes, but sometimes it can be hard to swallow. Mm-hmm. But of course, we as pro-life Oregonians, we are concerned about people who fall ill from COVID or from any other illness, and we want them to have the resources that they need to
yes.
get well, to be treated. And, mm-hmm. Of course, that extends to the end of life as well.
Right.
Actually, I know you want to talk about Temecula, but I just want to give a quick example of that. During COVID, we were getting reports, people were getting reports of developmentally challenged adults and other disabled people who were being mistreated by hospitals in a couple of different ways, especially surrounding the paperwork that they wanted people to sign. Mm. They basically wanted them to sign a DNR before they were admitted to the hospital.
Whoa.
And a legislator caught wind of this, who is not pro-life on abortion, but is very concerned about disability rights. And she mm-hmm. called and asked for our help to pass a law to provide protection for people. And we helped, and that law was passed.
Wow.
And, you know, we're building a relationship with this legislator, and we just never know when that opportunity is going to arise. We just need to stand ready.
Yes. And again, that affirmation of conception to natural death, guarding through life so that people can live out the days that were ordained for them. Right? Exactly. And I'm excited and encouraged by these young folks at Chemeketa Community College who said, no, we have rights here. We have, as students, we should be able to share like any other organization on campus. And so this victory is huge in Oregon.
It is huge, and these students are to be commended. Marco Sanchez and Emma Howell were the plaintiffs, I guess, or the names on the suit, and they were having a lot of issues with the administration at Chemeketa Community College and just trying to do simple things like chalking pro-life messages on the sidewalk or passing out flyers with information about their group, about events. They were just being prevented. They're trying to follow the rules, trying to meet the guidelines, and the administration was using those guidelines to try to shut them down. And they said, no more. Students for Life of America and the Alliance Defending Freedom are two incredible organizations that support students like these across the country, and they were able to file a suit, and they won.
Yay!
Which is incredible. So those rules are gone, and freedom of speech has been restored.
And in the whole legal format, here's what's so neat about this in coming out of Oregon, and it gives me much hope. This victory in Oregon is paving the way when other things in other schools and other states, they try to shut down free speech and create ways to push out truth. And so that happened here in Oregon. To me, that gives us great hope. And it's young people that are fighting the battle. The pro-life generation, oftentimes we hear them called. And I'm so excited about that. And I want us to give your website. We've got a little bit of time left. How do people get in contact with you and your organization?
Our website is ortl.org. Or if you just Google or whatever search engine you're using, you can type Oregon Right to Life and it will bring up our website. Also, we have a Facebook page, we have Instagram for ways to keep in touch with us. And also you can just call our office and give us your information, your address, if you'd like to get the newsletter. And our phone number is 503-463-8563.
Lois, I'm just so thankful for you and your team of amazing frontline people fighting the good fight. And we're going to bring some help, okay? We're gonna tell others. We're going to get people trained up to engage in this process because I think this legislative year is strategic and we can make a difference. And yes, it's a sad day, but I'm filled in with hope that people are awakening to the need to defend the baby in the womb and these mothers and dads who have no idea the torture and pain that they're looking towards for the rest of their life if they make this decision. And I am so impressed with what you're doing and the group that you've put together. And now, tomorrow, friends, we can watch virtually this event and be involved with it. And if we don't get there right at the right time, we can watch it because it'll be on the website and Facebook page. And I thank you and your team for moving ahead with something during this time, Lois. Thank you so very much.
Well, I really appreciate your support, and we do have an amazing team of people, both our staff at the office and our wonderful volunteers who work every day around Oregon to help preserve life and to enhance life.
Well, will you do me a favor and remember that you have KSLM as your ally and advocate, and as we're moving through the legislative session, please keep us in tune of what we can do to get the word out for action and activity and give us updates. Will you be willing to do that?
Of course, anytime.
Fantastic. Well, we'll keep you in our hearts and our prayers, and certainly we'll do what we can financially to make sure that you have what you need on the front lines battling for life. Thank you so much, Lois, and I hope you have a blessed day.
Thank you.
And friends, the reminder is this, is we gotta start by doing what's necessary, then do what's possible, And suddenly, you and I were doing the impossible. That's a wonderful quote from St. Francis. So very thankful for you. Connect with us on our website at kslm.news. Like us on Facebook at KSLM Radio. And certainly connect with me on email at Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at kslm.news. Have a fantastic weekend. And Lord willing, we'll be back on Monday.